Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Boyd Rutherford, Assistant Secretary for Administration at the USDA. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Mike Wasson. Boyd, human capital, as we discussed, is one of the areas under your purview. And as you mentioned to us earlier, you serve as the department's chief human capital officer. So to this end, could you give us an overview of USDA's human capital strategy and the priorities and how they align and complement the department's mission and organizational objectives?
Yes. Currently, we do have a strategic human capital plan, and there are a number of initiatives that it follows. It's driven by, I guess, four human capital initiatives, which include human capital management strategies that are aligned with the department's mission, goals, and organizational objectives. Number two is leadership and management of effective people is important to ensure the continuity of leadership in sustaining a learning environment that is focused on continuous improvement. Then we also work to make sure that we reduce any gaps or deficiencies in skills and competencies in mission-critical occupations. We are working toward closing those gaps, and I should have prefaced that by making sure that we identify our mission-critical occupations, and we've done so. And then just making sure that human capital management decisions are driven by data and are result-oriented in the planning and setting up an appropriate accountability system.
Well, Boyd, staying on the HR theme, could you tell us about your succession planning model? Specifically, what are the measures of success for the leadership planning model, and what are some of the critical factors that impact the success of USDA's succession planning approach?
Well, we have to identify, and we have identified, what are our mission-critical occupations, be it the research scientists in our agricultural research service or our nutritionists in our food and nutrition services. What are the critical mission, that are critical to the mission of the organization and that continue? In analyzing that talent pool after you have decided what is critical to conducting that mission, then we can put together a blueprint on how to implement a successful succession plan. We have to measure the success of the talent, look at our bench strength to make sure that they are sufficiently close to the leadership, but also look at where they may have gaps, what we generally call competency gaps, and making sure that we're training individuals appropriately, that starting from recruitment, retention, training, and making sure that knowledge transfers. One of the challenges, and I think every organization has that, is making sure that our senior level managers are bringing along the next generation, and they're not just kind of holding on and to what they've been doing. Not in many cases, it's not intentional, but they've been used to working in an environment, particularly if it's some of the areas that may be management oriented, or have management responsibilities, but have been technical areas, where that person is used to working really based on their technical skills and may not be the best of managers. And we're working to make sure that these technicians are understanding that they are managers and they're also mentors for the younger scientists, the younger nutritionists, and bringing them along. And so that, we're not faced with a situation where we have a real gap when that person decides that it's time for them to move on, that they decide that they don't want to be a full-time scientist and they'd rather do more research or move into another area or retire and do some other things. That's a critical aspect that we're working on now with a lot of our senior managers.
Yeah, identifying those future leaders are very important.
Yeah.
Given the composition of the department, how does USDA coordinate its HR field performance as well as impart best practices to its HR community? Specifically, what steps, example given human capital accountability system, are you taking to ensure that there is a continual open exchange to ensure that the HR policies and procedures are implemented, monitored, and updated among the field, your office, and the larger bureaus such as the Forest Service and NRCS?
Well, you mentioned the decentralized nature of the department. So it is very important that we work with what are called the mission area personnel officers, MAPOs for short, to make sure that we're conveying information to them in terms of what we're getting from the Office of Personnel Management and what the agency-wide or department-wide approach is going to be in certain areas, but also making sure that they're communicating to us in terms of their challenges, the challenges that they're facing either with regard to federal mandates or department mandates and how they're addressing that. We do ask for quarterly reports from the different mission areas in certain areas with regard to the accountability system, their hiring process, their retention process, how they're structured from an organizational standpoint, whether they've identified those mission-critical functions, and how are they addressing that whole competency gap that I mentioned before. We meet with the mission area personnel officers on a monthly basis to as an information exchange, both from the departmental level to the agencies, but also the agencies to the department. We make sure that, we keep those lines of communication and partner with the various individuals who are responsible for personnel issues in the agency.
Well, what changes are you making in the recruitment process at USDA, and does the agency use flexible compensation strategies to attract and retain employees who possess these mission-critical competencies?
Well, we do make use of the retention bonuses where it's appropriate. We also have some flexibility in terms of hiring, being able to offer recruitment bonuses for some of the critical needs that we have, paying travel expense in some cases to the first duty station. We're trying as best as possible to use these types of flexibilities to make sure that we get the best and brightest and we can retain our folks that are critical to us to continue to operate.
So, Boyd, I want to go back to something that you said around knowledge transfer, because I think that's a fairly critical issue, not only in government, but really across the industry as a whole, especially as we're beginning to see the baby boomers mature and age and retire. So what are some of the strategies that USDA is undertaking to manage and retain a lot of the intellectual capital and institutional memory of the organization?
Well, like most agencies, we have a career development program that we utilize for our future leadership that's coming along. And they work with some of the, lack of a better term, more senior people that are in the organization to make sure that we're developing that next group of senior executives and senior officials within the department. I keep going to those competency issues, but that's addressed through some of that career development program. We also try to match individuals with mentors and professional coaches wherever we can in the departments. And then the mission areas have created, in many cases, I'd say mission areas and the agencies have created leadership websites to provide information and promote the availability of leadership development tools and resources for our personnel. It is one, on the one hand, there's a challenge with the baby boomers and a large percentage of our senior executives, if they're not already eligible to retire, they will soon be. But on the other hand, like with most situations, they present opportunities as well.
So along with the dimensions of knowledge transfer, are there also other opportunities to develop and sustain a learning environment within the organization that drives continuous improvement?
Well, I mentioned the mentoring program for trainees and junior employees. I think that helps a lot. I mentioned also the leadership training. We're trying to develop kind of marketing strategies with regard to more on the attraction and retaining of people. But, it comes down to the managers and the executives to encourage the people that they have that are working for them and identify those folks who really want to take on the next step, the next challenge. And it's not just a person who says they want to do it. It's a person who's doing what they say they want to do.
Sure.
Because most people will say it because either they believe it or they think you want, that's the answer that you want. I think it's just as good when a person realizes or appreciates where they are and says, I am very good at what I do and this is what I want to do, but they're, that should be rewarded as well as the person who's willing to take the next challenge. But often you'll get people who say they want to take the next challenge, but they really don't, particularly when they find out what that challenge is.
Sure. That's great. What does the future hold for the USDA? We will ask Boyd Rutherford, Assistant Secretary for Administration at the USDA, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.